First, borders cannot be changed by force. Second, as a sovereign nation, there cannot be limitations on Ukraine's armed forces that would leave the country vulnerable to future attack and thereby also undermining European security. Third, the centrality of the European Union in securing peace for Ukraine must be fully reflected. Ukraine must have the freedom and sovereign right to choose its own destiny. They have chosen a European destiny. It starts with the country's reconstruction, its integration into our single market and our defense industrial base, and ultimately joining our union.
We arrived here today with one goal, and the goal was to take, it's 28 points or 26 points, depending on which version as it continued to evolve, and try to narrow the ones that were open items. And we have achieved that today in a very substantial way. Now, obviously, like any final agreement, they'll have to be agreed upon by the presidents. And there are a couple issues that we need to continue to work on. But I think the report today is that I think today was worthwhile. It was very, very it is probably the most productive day we have had on this issue. Maybe in the entirety of our engagement, but certainly in a very long time. But work remains, and because this continues to be a working process, I don't want to declare victory or finality here. There's still some work to be done, but we are much further ahead today at this time than we were when we began this morning and where we were a week ago for certain.
This is my video update on this Monday afternoon, November the 24th, coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news. And before we get started on today's news, like this video, share this video, subscribe to this channel. Let's talk about what is going on in the world today. And let's start things off with what is happening on the front lines in Ukraine, where the Russian military is advancing in the Zaporozhye direction. And according to Ukrainian sources and Ukrainian mapping channels, the Russian military has now entered the city of Gulyapole. They are now in the city center. That was very fast. And the Ukraine military appears to be in retreat. Very big news, very significant news from the front lines of Ukraine. Kupiansk captured just a few days ago. This was announced by Gerasimov and Russian President Putin. I am certain that we will get an announcement on Pokrovsk and Mirnograd from the Russian Ministry of Defense any day now. And in the Zaporozhye direction, you are now looking at the collapse of the Ukraine military in Gulyapole. And so that is what is driving the U.S., Ukraine, Russian talks. I guess at this moment in time, you would just say the U.S.-Ukraine talks, because Russia is not involved in any of the discussions that are currently taking place. Actually, Peskov came out with a statement and said as much. He said that at the moment, Russia is not preparing to negotiate with the United States. There are no plans to negotiate with the United States. There has been no request to negotiate with the U.S. What we are seeing is Rubio in Geneva talking with Yermak. Yermak, Zelensky's muscle, his entertainment lawyer, the man that allegedly, had something to do with the 100 million energy scandal and the golden toilets. That was just a few days ago. Nabu was closing in on Yermak, and now Andrei Yermak is in Geneva, hanging out with Rubio, negotiating with Rubio. Not much talk anymore about the golden toilet. Now everyone is focused on the negotiations taking place in Geneva, where the United States and Ukraine are discussing Trump's 28-point peace plan. Yermak, you go to Geneva and you discuss Mr. Trump's 28-point peace plan, okay? Let's not talk about golden toilets anymore. What do you say, Podolyak? That's a good idea, Mr. President. Very good idea. That's a good distraction, Mr. President. So according to the Collective West Media, oh no. Okay, I hope my audio comes out okay. Zip this up. So according to the Collective West media, the talks between Rubio and Yermak were very productive. This is what CNN is reporting. Actually, Rubio, he said that these were the most productive talks yet that he has had with Ukraine. Probably the most productive and meaningful so far. That is a direct quote from Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State. Yermak said the talks were very productive. And the Green Goblin, he chimed in and said that much is changing, referencing the discussions taking place in Geneva. Alensky is not in Geneva. It is my understanding that Alensky is on his way to D.C., where he will soon be on his way to D.C., so he can meet with U.S. President Trump. The Ukraine media, they're taking a bit more of a pessimistic tone to what is happening in Geneva. They're reporting that no real breakthroughs were made between Rubio and Yermak. The two main sticking points, according to Ukraine media, have to do with Ukraine's army size and its involvement in NATO and the territorial issues, mainly the withdrawal of Ukraine forces from Donbass. Ukraine forces are not prepared to leave Donbass, even though Trump's peace plan, even though his peace plan actually says that, yes, you will withdraw from the 20-25% of Donbass, but once you withdraw this territory, which will be de facto recognized as Russia, this 25% will be a DMZ. It will be a demilitarized zone. So that's what the Trump peace plan has in mind, but that's not enough for Ukraine. Allegedly, they're still not happy with the Donbass part of Trump's peace plan. And so yesterday we got another peace plan. peace plan. What am I saying? We got another plan. It was a leak. The EU peace plan leaked to, I believe, the Telegraph. They were the first ones to leak it. They leaked it. The Telegraph got a hold of it and leaked it. Right. Okay. So the European plan is really not so different than Trump's 28-point plan. Okay, it's more, obviously, because it's drafted by the Europeans, by the three amigos, Macron, Stammer, Merz. Ursula, I'm sure, played her part. Kaya Kallas, she took out the crayons and colored in between the lines of the plan. She drew hearts and rainbows on the plan that the EU leaked to the Telegraph. But But look, it's really not so different than Trump's 28-point plan. It's obviously it's more tilted towards Ukraine. Obviously, it's more of an in-your-face capitulation towards Russia. Trump's plan is a Russian capitulation. It's a Ukraine defeat. It's a Russian capitulation to the United States. But it's more manipulative, Trump's plan, right? It's much more manipulative. And there's profits in there for the United States. The United States makes money off of Russia. They make money off of Ukraine. They make money off of the Europeans. So you don't have any of that in the EU plan that was leaked yesterday. But it's more straightforward of a Russian capitulation. It's more of a plan telling Russia, surrender. here's your surrender. Here's how you're going to do it, and that's that. And Ukraine's going to join the EU. Ukraine's going to join NATO. The plan says Ukraine's going to have, they can have an unlimited military, Article 5 style security guarantees. All of these things. I'm not going to get into the plan point by point because it's a ridiculous plan. But it is honest. It's an honest, straightforward plan. We want you, Russia, to capitulate. But it's still delusional and ridiculous. Yeah, the European Union, they want the war to continue. The European Union, the Europeans, the UK, they want the war to continue. Ukraine, Zelensky, he wants more money. And at least the Trump administration. At least they're now realistic about things in a way. At least they're more realistic in that they're saying, you know what? We're going to lose. We're going to lose, and so let's try to dupe Russia into a ceasefire. that's the U.S. 28-point peace plan. The Europeans are saying, no, just keep fighting, just keep fighting. Zelensky's saying, no, just keep giving me money. The Trump administration is saying, man, we are going down, man. We're going to take a big L, so let's try to get Russia to sign some sort of a ceasefire, some sort of a freeze. The reports are that Vice President J.D. Vance was more receptive to an Istanbul Plus. He wanted to wrap this whole thing up by just accepting something close to Alaska, to what was agreed on in Alaska and some sort of June 2024 Istanbul Plus with the flexibility that Putin showed in Alaska. So Vance was much more realistic than, say, Rubio. The reports are that Rubio is still trying to tilt things towards the West, European, Ukraine, neocon side of things. And so you have Rubio in Geneva, and he's going to muck everything up, no doubt about it. And we are getting reports now that the 28-point peace plan has been rewritten with the input of Yermak and Ukraine. There have been changes made to Trump's 28-point peace plan, which obviously will be more in the direction of Ukraine and the collective West. And so Zelensky's going to travel to the United States. He's going to meet with Trump. And according to Ukraine media, the territorial issues and the military size and NATO, the things that were not sorted out in Geneva by Rubio and Yermak, will be ironed out by the Green Goblin and Trump. And then what happens? This plan goes to Russia? Goes to Putin? It's going to be a worse plan than the 28-point peace plan. It'll be a plan that is more in the direction of Ukraine and of the EU. And they're going to take this plan once Zelensky and Trump are in agreement. And they're going to do what? They're going to then go to Russia, to Putin, and say, here you go. Here's a new 28-point peace plan. It's even more ridiculous than the last 28-point peace plan because we incorporated Ukraine EU input into this plan. And what's Putin supposed to do? He's supposed to say, yeah, okay, sure. Of course not. Of course not. But I guess that's the thinking. It's all sabotage. It's all sabotage, as the Beastie Boys once sang, it's sabotage. Rubio is pretty much sabotaging things. The Europeans are sabotaging things. The Ukrainians, Yermak and Zelensky, they're sabotaging things, but they're getting a really good distraction as well from the whole corruption stuff. They're getting a really good distraction. So that's where we are. Rubio said that the plan is... He said that the plan is living and breathing. That's what he said in Geneva. Let me get his quote. This is a living, breathing document. Every day with input and changes, he said. The items that remain open are not insurmountable. We just need more time than what we have today. It's a living and breathing document, like the Constitution, right? It's living and breathing. Ridiculous, man. It's a cocktail napkin, 28-point brainstorming session, but it's living and breathing now. And because the front lines are collapsing, Trump decided to rush this thing out as some sort of a peace plan. Rubio was also asked about the EU proposal, and he said, I don't know about any rival proposals. He's like, I have no idea about any rival proposals. Whatever. Whatever, bro. That was Rubio. So that is where we are with this whole thing. I'm trying to think, do I have anything else? Can I balance this here? Yes, I can. Stay right there. Do I have anything else to report? Oh, Kellogg said that the plan, these negotiations are trying to avoid a situation like what happened with the Minsk agreements. He said that the U.S. does not want a repeat of the situation with the Minsk agreements, which is basically code for Kellogg saying we're trying to get another Minsk agreement. If Kellogg is saying that he wants to avoid a repeat of Minsk, it basically means that Kellogg is trying to get a repeat of Minsk. Because that's what we have going on here. We have Debaltseve 2.0, 2015 Debaltseve 2.0. It's all repeating. Instead of what happened back then, we now have a Ukraine military collapse in Huliapole, in Pakros, in Kupiansk. As I said in my video update yesterday, swap out Merkel for Trump. Merkel was in a panic and she flew to Moscow to get Putin to freeze the situation. Trump is in a panic now to freeze the situation with this 28-point peace plan. Trump actually posted on Truth Social, is it really possible that big progress is being made in peace talks between Russia and Ukraine? Don't believe it until you see it, but something good just may be happening. God bless America. So Trump is confident that he's going to get not only Ukraine to agree to his peace plan, but he's going to get Russia, Putin, to agree to this peace plan. In the European plan, the rival plan that was leaked to the Telegraph yesterday, there's no mention of Russia joining the G8, of Russia being invited back to the G8. But the Telegraph is reporting that the Europeans are okay with Russia being invited to the G8 if they agree to their peace plan. In the Trump peace plan, it does talk about Russia being invited to the G8 if they sign Trump's peace plan. Why Russia would be interested in joining the G7 to make it the G8, I have no idea. But maybe that's enough. Maybe that's enough to get Russia and Putin to to sign either Trump's plan, either the European plan, or maybe sign the new rewritten plan that Rubio and Yermak have put together. Maybe the G8 is what's needed. Maybe that was the incentive that that Putin and Russia needed. We have to get into the G8. We have to get back into the G7. Anything to get back into the G7. I want to sit at the big round table with Ursula and who else? Macron and Merz, Carney. I want to sit at that table again. Stammer. I need to sit at the table with Stammer. He tells the best stories. He's so exciting. He's so animated, that Keir Starmer. We're also getting reports that European leaders may be going to D.C. as well. And then we also had reports that Alexander Stubb had a call with Trump, but he's not talking about what they discussed. Yeah, he is not saying anything. People want to know, what did you say to Trump, Stube? And Trump is, and Stube is not talking. He's being very secretive. Alexander Stube, who has a very good relationship with U.S. President Trump. They're golfing buddies. If anyone can convince Trump to take back his 28-point peace plan, it is Alexander Stube with his perfect English. Oh, boy. So Scott Bessent, he was on the Sunday talk shows, the news shows, and he was asked about the EU sanctions. And Bessent, he said that after 19 sanctions, you would think that Europe would realize that it's not working, that the sanctions are not working. That is what Bessent said. If something is done 19 times in a row with no success, that means it's not working. He's right about that. He is right about that. But the EU is preparing to launch their 20th sanctions package. Not only are they going to launch their 20th sanctions package, but if the reports are correct and the Europeans are going to be in D.C. This week, and Zelensky's going to be in D.C. this week, there are media reports which say that Ursula and Zelensky, or whoever's going to be representing Europe, and Zelensky are going to be talking about more weapons, more money and more weapons to Ukraine while they are both in Washington, D.C. But Bessent, he said that 19 sanctions packages, I think it's enough. It has not worked. But Bessent, he talked up Trump's sanctions efforts. He said the European sanction efforts have been failures after 19 times, but he says that Trump's approach by going after India, going after the oil, he said, now that is thinking outside the box. That's going to work. Yep. Go after India. That's the right approach. Bessent just has not understood the EU's strategy when it comes to sanctions. He has not understood the brilliance that is stunning and brave Kaya Kallas. You see, Kaya Kallas, the EU, their strategy is a phased-in approach. You got to phase in the sanctions slowly, slowly, right? It's like it's boiling the frog slowly, slowly. And it's going to take at least 20, maybe 30 sanctions packages to finally break the Russian economy. It's a slow approach. You got to let it simmer, Scott. You got to let it simmer. That's how the EU is approaching it. He just hasn't understood the strategy. He wants results right away. That doesn't work like that, Mr. Bessent. Patience. Patience. The EU is getting there. Give it another 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100. Give it another 100 sanctions packages, and the EU will get there. You've got to trust in the plan. Trust in the plan, Bessent. Anyway, that is it for the news. I'm going to make this video. How are we doing on time? I think I'm going to make this video a bit shorter for today. You can see the Acropolis down that way. One sec. know if you guys can see it. There you go. Not too far from the Acropolis. Maybe like a 10-minute walk. Well, 10-minute walk to the Acropolis, and then maybe like a 10-minute walk up to the Acropolis. And then you have all the lines. Lots of lines. Anyway, let's do a clown world, and we can wrap this video up. What are we going to be talking about in today's clown world? I think this entire video was on Ukraine. This entire video was on Ukraine. So let's talk about Doge. Let's talk about Doge. Doge no more. It looks like 8 months before. I think it has 8 more months left in its mandate. But the reports are, according to Reuters, that Doge doesn't exist. Yeah, with 8 months left on its charter, Doge does not exist. It's been pretty much wrapped up. So that's pretty significant. It's actually pretty good news, I guess, if you're in the U.S., if you're a U.S. taxpayer, because it looks like the U.S. government, Democrats and Republicans, and the executive, they finally found a government department, a department in the U.S. government that they're ready to close. They finally found a U.S. government department that they're all in agreement should close. It's Doge. It's Doge. Mm-hmm. So yeah, 8 months left, but they're wrapping the whole thing up. And I think I have one more clown world. Let me just toss this coffee. I definitely have one more clown world. Not quite sure what it was. Well, I know what it was. It has to do with Durev and Telegrams, Durev and Candace Owens and France, Macron. So Candace Owens, I haven't been following this too closely, what she's been saying, but she's been getting threats. Her and Tucker Carlson have been getting threats on their life, something like that. And then she had information about how France may have played a role in what happened with Charlie Kirk. Once again, I haven't really been following the story too closely, but Pavel Durov, who used to be friends with Macron, remember, Durov was going to Paris, I believe, to have dinner with Macron, and that's when they nabbed him. But he's been very upset with Macron ever since little Napoleon betrayed him. So he's taken every opportunity he can get to take swipes, to jab at Macron. And he did not miss this opportunity because he commented on Candace Owens's post on X, where she talks about how she was contacted by a high-ranking employee of the French government, and this has to do about France and Charlie Kirk. And Pavel Durov said, after reviewing everything Kirk has ever said about Macron's France, I find Candace's info about French involvement in his death entirely plausible. Charlie even called for 300% tariffs on France until the charges against me were dropped. So that's Durov weighing in. Interesting. Yeah, every opportunity he can get to knock at Macron, Durov is now taking it. And there's a lot of opportunities to go after Macron, that's for sure. Anyway, that is the video. Yeah, that's everything. That is today's video. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X. We're on Rumble. We're on Telegram. We're also on Substack. You will find all those links in the description box down below, and the Duran shop. That is also linked down below. Take care.